The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way. Something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to my continuing series on the executive branch of the United States government. This show features the Department of the Interior. This department is entrusted with the management and conservation of federal lands and natural resources. Further, it administers programs relating to American Indians, Alaskan Natives, and Natives of Hawaii. Did you know that in the 150 years this department has existed, the first female secretary of this department served under President George W. Bush from 2001 to 2006? Did you also know that the first national park in the world, Yellowstone, was started and administered by this Department of the Interior? The Department of Interior is one of those lesser-known departments, except for instances where the people's rights have been trumped by either a president, as in the case of the Teapot Dome scandal during Warren G. Harding's administration, and during which the Secretary of the Interior accepted bribes to lease out federal lands, or more recently, how a tortoise, a lizard, or a spotted owl changed history. But that's another story and another time. Did you also know that the Department of the Interior is that department of the federal executive branch that has responsibility for overseeing our widespread territories in the Pacific Ocean? The Department of Interior employs approximately 70,000 people, with 280,000 volunteers from over 2,400 operating locations. Its annual budget for 2013 was $20.7 billion, this per Wikipedia. But first, a little history. This department came into existence with legislation passed on March the 3rd, 1849, when Congress created this department, referred to as the Home Department, with a mission to take charge of internal affairs of the nation. This new department was entrusted with a multiplicity of duties, including construction of the Capitol's water system, management of hospitals and universities, oversight of the D.C. jail system, regulation of the various territorial governments, colonization of freed slaves in Haiti, exploration of the western wilderness, and the basic responsibility for Indians, public land, patents, and pensions. This was quite a heady itinerary for a new department in 1849. And as this department carried on its mission, the government was creating other departments and transferring various aspects of this department to other departments until now, in the 21st century, we have a department that primarily has the responsibility for the interior of the United States. The Department of Interior is structured quite similarly as other departments of the executive branch. By that I mean, at the top of the organizational pyramid, we have the secretary, a deputy, and offshooted are six additional entities that I assume and believe provide specific assistance to the secretary, such as an assistant for policy, management and budget, a chief information officer, a solicitor, that's the lawyer, then an inspector general, and lastly, a special trustee for American Indians. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly never heard of a special trustee for American Indians. In my previous reports on various other departments of the executive branch, I do recall that there are special programs for American Indians within the Department of Education, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Commerce, and the Department of Agriculture. My first thought was that this trustee oversees all other American Indian activities, or specifically activities of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. But alas, that is not the case. The Special Trustee for American Indians, and I quote from the Federal Register, "The Office of the Special Trustee for American Indians, or OST as they call it, oversees Indian trust reform efforts nationwide to ensure the establishment of policies, procedures, systems, and practices to allow the Secretary to discharge the government's fiduciary trust responsibilities to American Indians and tribes. OST also has programmatic responsibility for the management of financial trust assets, asset appraisals, and fiduciary trust beneficiary services." In this case, I will not attempt to interpret those words, but will let you, the listener, make your own interpretation as to the usage and meaning of the aforementioned quote from the Federal Register regarding the Office of the Special Trustee. That being said, I looked forward in my research to learn what it was that the Bureau of Indian Affairs did, since I was aware of many of the other Indian programs available within the federal executive branch of government. But first, let me list the 5 assistant secretaries and the 10 bureaus and services under their direct supervision. The 5 assistant secretaries conducting the business of the interior are, first, the Assistant Secretary for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has as its responsibility the National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Recall, these government employees in the National Park Service were the ones in the news when we had sequestration and our parks and historic sites were closed. Next, we have the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. These government employees were the ones that came to play when we have some species that is endangered and some form of activity needs to be curtailed to protect the likes of a snail darter. And speaking of snail darters, I was old enough to remember that one, but do not recall a follow-up. So here goes the story and the rest of the story. This from encyclopedia.com and other sources. Snail darter, a small rare fish, Percina tenace, discovered by a zoologist who was snorkeling in the Little Tennessee River upstream from the projected Tellico Dam. Dam opponents fought successfully to include the darter on the endangered species list in 1975, and the dam was halted. In 1978, the Supreme Court sided with the environmentalists, but Congress declared the fish non-endangered and the Tellico Dam was built. And now an update. This from the Knoxville News. Today, the fish, a not-so-beautiful little brown bottom hugger called a snail darter, survives, even thrives, scientists say, and the 116 million dam it almost mothballed in mid-construction did get built. And allow me a further observation. The dam opened up additional recreational areas, facilitates barge travel on the Tennessee River, and channels water, facilitating power production at the Loudoun Power Facility. Now you, the listener, decide which alternative produced the more positive results, stopping the dam for the snail darter or doing what happened and not only benefited the area but provided a thriving snail darter population. At this point, I would be remiss if I didn't give credit to the Fish and Wildlife Service and their role in bringing back the American eagle population from the brink of extinction. I'm sure we all appreciate that. Returning now to our continuing narrative of the Department of the Interior, the next subgrouping, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, pretty much should explain itself. But let me use their words. A unique legal and political relationship with Indian tribes and Alaskan Native entities provides services directly or through contracts, grants, or compacts to 566 federally recognized tribes with a service population of about 1.9 million American Indians and Alaskan Natives. This from Wikipedia. There are about 310 Indian reservations in the United States, and the collective geographical area of all reservations is 55 million acres, approximately 2.3% of the area of the United States. In short, a multiplicity of federal bureaucracy exists to protect the American Indian and Alaskan Natives. Next, we have the Assistant Undersecretary for Land and Mineral Management, under whom we have the Bureau of Land Management, the Office of Surface Mining, Reclamation and Enforcement, also the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, and finally, the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement. In these short presentations, I try to highlight and inform you on the departments in the short span of time. It is impossible to really cover these departments in detail, but while doing my presentation, I often find my curiosity piqued and delve a little bit deeper into some aspect of a department. It was this Bureau of Ocean Energy Management that did just that piqued my interest. The BOEM, I quote, promotes energy independence, environmental protection, economic development through responsible science-based management of offshore conventional renewable energy resources. Just a quick comment. Is this not just another bureaucracy, since we already have a Department of Energy and a Department of Commerce? But I veer from my course. Let's get back to the Department of the Interior. We have the Assistant Secretary for Water and Science, which includes the U.S. Geological Survey and the Bureau of Reclamation. And finally, in this group of five, we have the Assistant Secretary for Insular Areas, under whom is the Office of Insular Affairs. At this point, if you had asked me who or what is Insular Affairs, I would honestly have had to say, heck, I don't know. But that is the purpose of this series on the executive branch of government, and specifically the various departments therein. So I went to the budget justifications and performance information for the Office of Insular Affairs for the year 2015 report. President Obama for 2015 requested $678.1 million for the Office of Insular Affairs. In that 2015 budget, of which $585.9 million was for permanent and indefinite appropriations for fiscal payments mandated by law to U.S. territories and freely associated states, with $92.2 million in annual appropriations. What that means is that by treaty, we support these entities financially through packages of assistance because of treaties and discretionary funding. I looked a bit closer and found under funding activities these items: American Samoa Operations, $22.7 million, Covenant Grants, $27.7 million, Office of Insular Affairs, $8.7 million, Technical Assistance, $12.4 million. Maintenance assistance, $740,000. Brown tree snake control, $2.9 million. Coral Reef Initiative, $998,000. Empowering Insular Communities, $2.9 million. Compact Impact Discretionary, $4.9 million. And that's just a small sampling of the total monies allocated and given out under the Insular Affairs Office. Now, I'm sure you're just biting at the bit to know what that $22.7 million does. Well, folks, it is nothing more complex or difficult to understand than what our government is doing at this moment in time. Just as we are operating under a deficit situation, building our debt, so also with American Samoa. I quote from that report, "American Samoa government does not have sufficient local revenues to fund the entire operating cost of its government. The purpose of this program activity is to fund the difference between budget needs and local revenues." Now, the responsibility of this insular affairs entity are the territories of Guam, American Samoa, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, as well as three freely associated states, the Federated States of Micronesia, the Republic of the Marshall Islands, and the Republic of Palau. The Office of Insular Affairs is nothing more than a part of government, i.e. Department of Interior, which has the responsibility for the separate entities of American responsibilities in the Pacific Ocean, period, and that it manages the monies allocated for insular areas enumerated previously. So that is how the Interior Department is organized, what it does, and where it does its job. I sure hope you have gained a better insight into the operation activities of the Department of Interior. On a personal note, I hope you are grasping the extent of the encroachment of the federal executive bureaucracy into our everyday lives and activities. Also, that you are seeing the ever-expanding and duplicative growth of the federal government. I leave you with this quote from one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson. "The multiplication of public offices, increase of expense beyond income, growth and entitlement of a public debt are indications soliciting the employment of the pruning knife." Folks, this is springtime and we really need to start pruning. Well, listeners, we've come to the end of another show. Thank you for listening. And if you have questions or comments, please feel free to contact me at theflypod.com. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.